Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're in Bill's story on page 7. We'll be reading the fourth paragraph that begins, "They did not need to tell me," and ends, "But that was over now," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers, and thank you for your service, for the 12 Steps, Stephanie R., the 12 Traditions, Toby K., readers of the text, Pete B. and Kathy F. Our newcomer greeter is Anne-Marie M. Our second hour host is Ramona A., and announcements will be given by Nancy C. The share IDs for yesterday, Tuesday, March 5th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. There's a note that this is an updated share ID, which is 21,194. That's 21194. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,195. That's 21195. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie R. to.
Hi, good morning. Stephanie R. calling from Missouri. Here are 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will in our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie R. And I will now ask Toby K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Toby K. from Long Island, New York. 1, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic, to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, the OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group might be fully, ought to be fully supporting declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 7. We'll be reading the 4th paragraph that begins, "They did not need to tell me," and ends, "But that was over now," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And I'll now ask Pete B. to please begin reading.
Thanks. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace in Washington, Pennsylvania. They did not need to tell me. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It was a devastating blow to my pride. Who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. There had been much happiness after all. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. You know, this paragraph, the few before that. I mean, to me, it speaks of the tremendous value that the pain and suffering that we endure under the lash of these conditions has to our recovery. You know, I often think, like, if I was deprived of any of the pain that I had to go through in order to get to where I am, I may have shortchanged myself, or somebody may have shortchanged me by depriving me of that pain. You know, what we see here is Bill, you know, Bill has a reasonable amount of data to base his decision to have pride on, right? He was an accomplished, ambitious, resilient man, right, who did a lot of wonderful things, but he just had no idea what he was up against with regard to alcohol. this disease, while the thing that we share among all of us who have this condition is the allergy of the body. But our book, in the doctor's opinion, tells us that the greater aspect of the condition lies in our mind, which makes us think for some reason, I just have to fix the mind. And what do we fix the mind with, right? Therapy, information, resources, other professionals, right? And unfortunately for this condition, if we have it, we learn that that doesn't fix the problem. What fixes the problem is growing spiritually, abandoning this idea that somehow, some way, some human power, some new code of morals, some new philosophy of life, a more effective mechanism for bringing into consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the pain and suffering, right? If I just go to enough meetings, I'll remember the pain and I'll remember the humiliation from the food. And what these paragraphs are telling us is that will not be the case. Bill has all of the evidence in front of him, all of the evidence that drinking is a problem. I need to stop drinking. He's been to the best hospitals. He's seen the best professionals. Yet in spite of all of that, he can't keep himself from drinking. Right? And it wasn't caused by his ego. It wasn't caused by his bad, his bad actions. It was caused by the disease of alcoholism. And Bill is coming to find out that he does in fact have it. And he's literally being told that his condition is hopeless and he's going to die. Yet we're going to see in the next paragraph, he will decide to pick up and drink once again. So I need to remember that. My pain is the most valuable, it may be the only asset some of it has. And we need not deprive people of the pain that they rightfully should be going through. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete B., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday this week at any of the Vision meetings, we ask you to hold back. Who would like to share this morning?
Katie B.,
Tina S.,
Tina,
Rivka,
Rivka,
Bonnie B.,
I heard Elena.
I'm right here.
Alice W.,
hey.
Alice,
Teresa P.,
hey.
Reva P., I missed a male voice.
Teresa P.,
yes.
Teresa,
Gabrielle.
Okay, y'all may have to give me the first initial of your last name, but this is what I've got. Katie G., Tina S., Rivka, Elena C., Alice W., Reva P., Teresa, and Gabriella. If you are not Katie G., if you would please mute, star one. And Katie, you're up, followed by Tina.
Hey, Lisa. Good morning. Thank you for taking the meeting. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. Yeah, I mean, thanks for the opening share. This just reminds me that abstinence is not the solution, because if I just put down the food, I am still overcome by the greater aspect of my disease. Now, that does not mean that I can't continue to use no matter what, because if I can continue to use, I'm blocked off from God. I must stay abstinent. However, once I am entirely abstinent, I have a craving for a solution because all of my solutions are gone, and I see his fighting, right? Like I so relate. I fight when agitated or doubtful. I don't pause. And I have fought my whole life. And I have thought well of myself, my ability to overcome obstacles. I have played many different parts when I've been, needed to overcome obstacles. And you know what? Thanks be to God, I have. But for some crazy reason, anorexia and bulimia and the scale have been my master. I really love, too, that he says, I thought of my poor wife. Because 2 years ago, when I was 17 pounds underweight, I thought of the two children that God has given me. Now, when I say I have two children, if you know me, you know that I should not have children. The disease of compulsive exercise and anorexia stole my ability to be a mom when I was age 18. So these children are not light aspects of my life, right? And I remember thinking, you know, there is a lot of happiness. And even God gave me this idea, like, Katie, it's going to be up. The timer is going to be up. It's going to come get you. And I wanted so badly to change, right? And I would hit these bottoms where I would have all this clarity. I've got to change. I've got to change. And I just couldn't. And thanks be to God, somehow I was finally broken open. And I love the reminder that pain is what does it for me. Like step 6 and 7 again, it is only by repeated humiliation and the final crushing blow of my self-sufficiency. I'm hard-headed and I am this way in recovery. I am this way with my character defects. I do not want to give up the character defects that I have. I want to give up the consequences of character defects. But if it's working for me, man, I get into that repeated humiliation, right? And thanks be to God, God can save me today. Thanks be to God, I'm not that woman falling asleep with food in her mouth, binging my brains out. And thanks be to God, that level of pain isn't so high anymore. And God and I can change a day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. And Tina S., you're up, followed by Rivka R.
Thanks so much, Lisa, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great paragraph. And yeah, thanks so much, Pete. What a great lead. I can just so relate, you know, when I got here, I was successful for a period of time, not putting alcoholic foods in my body. I could do that for a period of time. But eventually I would go back, because, it tells me in the book that my main problem centers in my mind. And that was so eloquently put, it's so interesting because when, I wasn't reading the previous paragraph when this was written, I was like, oh, this just reminds me so much of right before I, put myself into the mental institution, because I was just like done because, I couldn't figure a way out. And I had always, always prided myself on my intellect, and what a devastating blow to my pride for sure. I listened to a tape where the guy talks about, what I think I know is going to kill me for sure. And what I think I know is going to kill me for sure. And, one of the things that really helped me, because I love it talks about, I was to plunge into the dark. The next paragraph is like the first step, this one on page 8. But, that's where I was. I was in the dark. Joining the endless procession of thoughts had gone on before me, and I had seen people over the years. I thought, and I felt bad for people that were overweight. I personally, for whatever reason, I have no reason. I never heard anybody, talk bad about my weight except for me, but I've heard people, I heard people talk about other people and I would just feel so bad for them, and I would see them and I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to have to join them, I'm going to have to join them. And I too liked it. It says, I thought of my poor wife, cause I had people in my life that tried to help me over and over and over. And I just was not available at all. All I was a taker, was never a giver. And what I wouldn't give to make amends, well, today, I had that opportunity. And what a gift it is through working the 12 steps, having a transformation, to be a different person, to do different things, and to be more of a giver. Now, I'm not all there. Let me just tell you, I'm still that taker, but to be more of a giver today, and to live this life of freedom. I have freedom today. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Tina S. And Rivka R., you're up, followed by Elena C.
Good morning. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Thanks so much for all your shares and in your service. A few sentences jumped out at me. I, who had thought so well of myself, and I thought of my poor wife, there had been much happiness after all. Like, I really thought when I got married 42 years ago that I was going to be the best wife. I was going to be so warm and so loving and so giving. But like without recovery, that was impossible because I had no clue how to give love, real love, unconditionally, and how to receive love. I remember when I first got into program, I think we'd been married about 9 years, and I asked my husband, what is it like to live with me? And he said, when you're good, you're great, and when you're bad, you're horrible. And thank God I grabbed the pen and paper because I knew I couldn't hear what he was going to say and not get defensive and tell him he was wrong. But, you know, I just wrote down everything he said, and, like, he let out a lot of pain. He told me that he fantasized about taking out a life insurance policy and getting himself killed so that I would finally have enough money to be happy. Like, the poor guy just wanted to make me happy. He was willing to die to make me happy. I mean, thank God he got into Al-Anon. But I couldn't see it because I was so full of myself and food and resentment and my distorted perspectives and drive to be right and be a victim and defend myself. Like it was really rough. And it made it really hard for him. I'd come to learn that the essence of love is being able to receive another fully without expectations, without judgments. I had no clue how to do that. I didn't know how to connect, and I only blamed him for not connecting with me. But it was my issue all along. Like, I sure know how to connect and delight in chocolate chips, though. I mean, like, I actually once told my husband that chocolate chips excited me more than he did. I mean, poor guy. Thank God, like, through the grace of God and this program, working the 12 steps, like the last person shared, the transformation in my relationship, my priorities, my perceptions, allow me to give and receive love, real love today. And I'm so grateful. And I have to say, so my husband is so grateful that he excites me a lot more than chocolate chips today. And have a great day, everyone, with Abby Pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rivka R. And Elena C., you're up, followed by Alice W.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered today. So I hear in this paragraph the gift of intense pain that, you know, Bill is experiencing. And in that gift, the gift of pain, or in that pain, is also the gift of surrender. He's looking, oh, there's going to be dark. I understand now that what if I keep on doing what I'm doing, it's not going to turn pretty for me, you know? And so I believe I hear surrender in this experience. And in that surrender, he's able to see the suffering of his wife. And, you know, just like he was saying, how amazing the gift of pain is for us, and that we cannot deprive anybody, not even ourselves, from that feeling, the pain. And without this program, you know, I pushed the pain away. My ego pushed the pain away, actually, my pride. And I believe that my ego was given to me from my higher power because it's needed. I need to have an ego. What would I do without it, you know? Yet, I think now my ego has a relationship with higher power of my understanding. And so it's more of a moderate ego. It's more of a realistic ego. It's not as my image of myself is not as inflated. And, you know, on the contrary, also the image of myself is not as deflated. So my ego is moderate. My ego has my higher power. And it doesn't numb the pain as much. And that is amazing. That is the gift of this 12 steps. And I think that's all I needed to say for now. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Elena C. And Alice W., you're up, followed by Reva P.
Hi,
Alice W. Star one, we can't hear you. I hear some background noise, but not, is that Alice W? Okay, we might have to come back to Alice W. Reva P., are you available?
Yes, I am. Hi, this is Reva P. Hey, Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. This paragraph reminds me that my bottom has nothing to do with the amount of weight that's on my body, my body size. My bottom, my spiritual bottom, is when I get to the point, and I don't know that he's at this point yet, but it's just a reminder that it's at the point where deep in my gut, in my soul, I know I can't do this anymore. I don't know anymore. I'm done. I can't. I just can't go on like this. And I guess we all get there at different points and in different ways. And I just love this business, myself, my abilities, my capacity to surmount obstacles. Great reminder that all of that my stuff is great if used rightly in alignment with the higher power in other areas of life, but not when it comes to this disease. And that sort of surprised me. You know, I started off in a research-based hospital program that gave me all kinds of research data on this disease and how hopeless it was, but it didn't help me. Knowing all that, it really didn't help me. I ended up in a ugly church basement at my first meeting, and that was where I got the help. Yeah, and plunging into the darkness where I'm cornered, I don't think that's just a one-time thing with respect to the food and weight. I think this is how I go deeper and deeper in step 6 and 7 when it comes to certain behaviors, beliefs in abstinence, in supposed recovery, where I hit the wall and it feels really dark and hopeless. And I don't know what to do anymore. I think those are the places where God can come in. That's how God gets my attention when I'm out of ideas. So yes, pain is super uncomfortable. I don't like it at all. But that's how God can come in. So I heard that saying, you know, every breakdown is an opportunity for breakthrough. So thank you, God, that I know that there is a solution, whether it's the food or any other issue in my life. It always starts with the spiritual bottom. And then when the spiritual malady is overcome, I straighten out mentally, physically, and then I can use my abilities and intellect in alignment, and that's using it rightly, like it says in step 12 in the AA 12 and 12. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Alice W., checking to see if you're available to share, followed by Teresa. Okay, Teresa, I didn't get the first initial of your last name. You're up, followed by Gabriella. I thought it was Teresa.
Hi, this is Teresa P. from California, and really enjoying the shares and realizing that, you know, that this, what a killer disease this is, and but what a blessing it is too, because it's the only thing that really brings me closer to God, because I just, you know, I can't do this life thing. And it's the pain, you know, because I'm a pusher and I can take a lot of pain, and I'm willing to work really, really hard. And you know, it just gets worse and worse. The good news is that, you know, when I finally do surrender, and it all is about the surrender and realize, you know, I just can't, is that that's when, you know, God gets to come in and do for me what I can't do for myself. But then that's where all the fear is too, because you know what, the what ifs start. Of course, the what ifs are always marching around. And that's just part of life. And it just goes back to this walking this journey through life with, you know, it's the pain and the fears. It's just all about learning about, you know, the spiritual life and how I need to connect with this. And it's just one step at a time and, you know, one pain at a time. And, you know, and how long does it take to do whatever? And it's just whatever takes, whatever it takes. And what I love about being in program is that I just get to keep walking through it, you know, one moment at a time, whatever's going on, because, you know, I just don't know how to do this life, and it gets revealed one moment at a time. So thank God for program and showing, program allowing me to get to God, who has always been walking through me, walking with me, and carrying me through my life. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Teresa P. And Gabriella, you're up if you'll give us the first initial of your last name.
Hey, thank you. It's actually just Gabrielle, G-A-B-R-I-E-L-L-E. My last initial is M as in Mary, and I'm in Georgia. So I really appreciate this meeting so much and all the shares this morning. I was thinking about Bill had just learned that he is so sick and completely incapable of stopping, and that he would die or be locked up. That's pretty extreme. He would wind up just like all those who had been condemned to an alcoholic death. He tried and failed to manage his alcoholism, and he had deep regrets galore. That's exactly where I was a year ago. I have two sisters that are very, very morbidly obese. They're probably 300-400 pounds. And I was headed the same direction as them. I just could not stop, even though I've been in OA since the 80s. And I've had periods of abstinence and gotten down to a proper body weight. I'm so grateful for this meeting because I hear on here all the time, it's not just abstinence. But I didn't get that part of it until I was involved with Vision for You. And I had to get to the point that I understood that the problem was in my mind and my will was not going to be sufficient to save me. I had to have God's help or higher power's help, however it's comfortable for you to think of it. Luckily, I started listening to this meeting. And at a point of desperation, I got down on my knees and I asked for my higher power's help. And then I got a Vision sponsor. I didn't want to get sponsors anymore. I didn't want to keep working the program, but somehow there was that window of opportunity. And I got a Vision sponsor and started working the steps. And the obsession was removed. I can remember somebody telling me before that you don't have food neutrality. And I thought, what the hell is she talking about? But I really am experiencing food neutrality at this point. I have peace with food for the first time. And I'm really, really grateful for this program and everybody who does service on this meeting and everybody that does the service of sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Gabrielle M. And we are on page 7 in the big book. We are in Bill's story, and we've read and we're commenting on the fourth paragraph that begins, "They did not need to tell me," and ends, "But that was over now." Who else would like to share this morning?
Bonnie B. from Florida.
Ina.
Bonnie.
Jennifer C.
Gentlemen.
Larry K.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a second. Larry K. I heard Jennifer C. I heard another gentleman right after Bonnie, before Jennifer.
Ian F.
Ian. Okay, thank you. Ian F. as in Frank?
Yes, ma'am.
Terrific. I have Bonnie, Ian, Jennifer C., Larry K. Anybody else?
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Julie P.
Julie P. Okay, let's go with that lineup. And we have Bonnie B, Ian F, Jennifer C, Larry K, Chris G, and Julie P. So Bonnie B, you're up, followed by Ian.
Good morning, my friends. Thanks so much for your service and thanks for the fantastic shares. What a very amazing paragraph again. Bonnie B, gratefully recovered for today by the grace of God living in the state of Florida. So the thing that stuck out to me was the second sentence. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. I mean, when I came into this program, I want to say I was at the bottom and I was desperate, but my past and would prove otherwise because I've gone back into the food multiple times in the 12 years I've been in this program. I think it is what it is, and I think for each of us, at least for myself, I can only know what I can only know. And so when I came into the program, I felt like I was desperate or I wouldn't have come because I knew that the requirement seemed incredibly big. And it wasn't about the abstinence because that wasn't really the issue for me. It was about being honest. Man, the idea of like opening up that can that I had hidden for years because of that fear of what would people think of me and knowing that that would be a requirement at a certain point if I was to work the steps, that's the thing that terrified me. And if I could have found another way to get around it, I would have, because that's how desperately I wanted the approval of every single person that was in my life. I was terrified of what people would think if they knew the real me. I knew this program required that I did that, but because of the desperation and because of that place of I've tried it all. Page 31. Here are some of the methods I've tried. I knew that I had done it all and done most of them twice to the tune of a lot of money and a lot of pain to me and also to my family members. I knew that this was the only house left, but I wasn't completely ready. I almost welcomed the idea. And what is the, where is that point where each of us comes to that, I'm totally ready. It's dependent upon each person. And that's what makes this program so personal. You know, for me personally, my higher power, he doesn't want my list. And that's all I ever knew. That's all I ever knew. Because if I did the list and if I checked the list off and I was good and everyone was good and life was good, right? No, because I was still on the inside. I wake up every day and I pray out step 1, 2, and 3 and I give God my heart and he reminds me on a daily basis he doesn't want my list, he wants my heart. And I get to live free for today. But that I knew that I was sick and I almost welcomed the idea meant that I wasn't ready. But I was getting there. And so for people that, almost welcome the idea, love them with arms wide open because they're moving toward the I welcome the idea. And thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. And F, you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Hey, y'all. This is Ian F., compulsive overeater in Louisville, Kentucky. Very grateful to be here. These shares are awesome. this one is this reminder to me that I'm not a skeleton key, and I have part of my disease is that I feel a need to fix every problem that I encounter or think that I encounter. And my disease is no different. And I know that I spent a really long time binging my brains out every day, starving, purging via exercise, and wondering, okay, am I doing this because I'm queer? Am I doing this because I'm afraid of going to college? Am I doing this because I have depression? Am I doing this? My grandpa's a schizophrenic? It's just like I would list all these things and I would try to figure it out and I would go to therapists and they would be totally confused doing this because I had no trauma in my life. And it's like I have this faith in myself. I have so much capacity to surmount obstacles. So many of us are really smart, really talented, really capable, whatever. But in this thing, I have no power. And I found that in recovery and out of recovery, my pattern is that if I have something that's really troubling me, I will explore it to its depths until it totally breaks me down And then I'll go, oh, I'm powerless. I will stay in a job that I'm miserable in until I have proof beyond belief that it is not where I'm supposed to be. I'll stay in a relationship that I'm with someone that I'm not in love with because I'm trying to figure out how to do it the right way. But I'm just in the wrong spot. And I will eat and I will eat and I will eat and I will eat until there is no doubt in my mind that I'm a compulsive overeater and that will never change. That's how I am. What I would not give to make amends, that was all over now. It's like that desperation. I need to have hit absolute rock bottom. And I tell people all the time, they come in and they're like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm kind of wishy-washy as if I need this thing. Or like, I'm kind of playing around with this food plan. Like, if you are not coming in and you're like, I need help now, show me, you've probably got some meeting to do. So, thank you all for your shares. Love you guys. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ian F. And Jennifer C., you're up, followed by Larry K.
Hi, good morning. This is Jennifer C., Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. Cornered at last. Cornered. Forced into a place or situation from which they cannot escape. Forced into a place or situation where there is no escape. And so because he was cornered, because he was forced into this situation, he had no way of escape. It's like he had no way out. He was cornered by this disease, cornered by his own pride. Devastating blow to my pride. The reality for me is that I need constant devastating blows to my pride, right? Like after the food is down, and I am living in recovery, and my character defects continue to keep me humble, continue to remind me that I need God, that I cannot do this without God. So because he was cornered, because he was forced into this situation where he had no escape, finally, right? Like he's tapping out. He's got nothing left. And because of that, he was forced. In the paragraphs to come, we see that he was forced to look at what he believed about God. What did he believe about God? What were the ideas, the old ideas, the preconceptions, the resentments, the grudges that he was holding against God that were killing him, literally killing him? He was forced into a corner. He had to start to look at what he believed about God, because God was the only power that was going to save him now. And in my life today, I have to constantly look at my agnosticism. I have to constantly look at the ideas that are blocking me from receiving this love and mercy and grace and power that is always available to me. So thank you, God, that we have been cornered, right? That we're forced onto this meeting this morning. Let's be honest, we wouldn't be here if we didn't need to be. But then what a gift it is, right? We wouldn't be working these steps if we didn't need to, but then what a gift it is. We wouldn't be eating this way if we didn't need to, but then what a gift it is. So thank you, God, for the cornering that happens, because as a result of that, we get to live this new way of life where we know that we know that we know that we need God, and the third step prayer becomes breath. So thank you all for being here this morning. God bless.
Thank you, Jennifer C. And Larry K., you're up, followed by Chris G.
Good morning. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. I love all the shares. Thank you, everyone, all my teachers here. I don't know about you, but I have a tremendously high tolerance for pain, not just physical pain, emotional pain. And it seems to me that Bill, if we look at Bill's history, he's got, you know, his trajectory, he's got a pretty high tolerance for pain as well, right? Now we see him in this particular paragraph. He's not done yet. He may be done drinking, but he's not done with the fight. There's a lot of fight left in him yet. But it is darkest before the dawn. And what I've heard today, I was thinking of page 45. you know, marshaled by the will, you know, if we are our human resources as marshaled by the will were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear. I didn't want to hear about God or a higher power. I don't see that God in my life. All I see is I'm surrounded by pain, and I'm surrounded by people that are not doing what they should be doing, let's say, according to me, you know. But then I read, we found, it says lack of power. That was our dilemma. We hear that. We hear that again and again. We had to find a power. No, I don't. There's people on this line that are not convinced they have to find a power. How do I know? Because I was you. I didn't know. Bill didn't. Bill is sitting there in bed. He's about ready to die. You know, take me, essentially, is what I think he's probably, you know, he's open to here. And he's resigned himself, but that is precisely where, reflecting back later on, that's precisely where God needed him to be. That's where God needed me to be. He needed for me to be in the fetal position, you know, crying and just utterly out of fight. He needed to take the fight out of me, but I have such pride. I'm not ready for you to take the fight out of me. You know, but this roadmap, and when we begin to implement these steps, there's tremendous hope. There's tremendous hope, right? And I tell you, you know, it's pretty extraordinary, because when I think about what needed to happen for me, there was more fight. I know someone who in AA who lost a leg. You'd think the fight would be out. Oh no, the fight was not out of him. He was in a car accident, lost his leg. I heard about this guy. You think, surely he's done? Nope, he's not done. So only God knows when you'll be when you're ready to surrender and the fight is gone. That's the paradox. So many paradoxes in this program. That's part of the surrender. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry K. And Chris G., you're up, followed by Julie P.
Thank you. This is Chris G.
Oh, there you are.
Excuse me. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for the shares. Thanks, everybody that shared today. And I look at this paragraph, and it tells me about pride, and it tells me about selfishness. And I wasn't willing to admit that I had a problem with pride and selfishness. I wasn't really to admit that I wasn't willing to not blame everything on somebody else. I wasn't willing to stop bargaining with God. God, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. I wasn't willing to stop pretending that I was in charge, that I was God, that I knew. I would look out at others and at life, and I just wanted to make a tweak. I wanted to tweak everybody. Oh, they would be better if, you know, if Larry would only blah, 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 then he would be better. And who am I to say that? But that's what I did day in and day out with everything. They could be better if, and I knew better. And I had ambition. And I had pride, and I didn't understand when I got into the looking at this thing. When I got into looking at this thing, I didn't understand why in the seven-step prayer I give God the bad. Why did I give God the bad? I just want everybody to see the good in me. I want to not be honest about the bad. I don't want to say, hey, in my nightly review, I was selfish yesterday. I was self-centered. I don't want to say that. But here it says, you know, alcoholics do what alcoholics do. And guess what? I'm not, I need to pretend I'm somebody I'm not. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris G. And Julie P., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Julie P., currently in Texas, originally from Minnesota. Thank you all for your shares this morning. I am a compulsive overeater, and my pride is hurt this morning. I really want to thank you all for your shares. There's a couple that really touched my heart this morning. Was asking their husband what it's like to live with. Ooh, burn. I don't want to ask my husband this morning what I'm like to live with, because yesterday I was not likable. And my pride is hurt because I thought, oh, I've come so far in this program. I'm doing so well. Well, yesterday was definitely a day of I was not doing well. My mouth would not stop. And I'm grateful that I am waking up with an emotional hangover this morning. I'm grateful for the pain I'm feeling. I'm grateful to know that my ego needs to be smashed. And maybe someday I will be willing to ask my husband what it is like to live with him. I'm not so sure I want to ask him that today because I don't want to hear the answer. But I have surrendered my emotions to God because I am powerless. And the one thing I'm grateful for today is I didn't eat yesterday. I have remained abstinent through it. Really grateful. And for all of you, have a great day. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie P. We have time for one, maybe two more shares. Anyone else like to share this morning?
Russ M.
Russ. All right. Take it away, Russ.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater, Norristown, PA. So when I hear this passage, I think it, like Pete said, Zari said, everybody's reiterating this about the pain. You know, when it came to the food, I had to be at a point where I was debilitated. I was like physically tired of eating. That's how bad it was for me. I was in a bad spot. Like that, I was, when it came to the food, I was desperate. But how come I can't be like that with my pride? How come I can't be with that in other areas of my life? So I'm still working out. I'm still a neophyte at this life. You know, that part about the wife, man, I don't ever want to ask what it's like to live with me. I don't want to hear that. But, you know, my wife has, you know, she's told me how it's been. And I have to face it if I want to be great for my family. And, you know, thank God for Bill. Thank God for Dr. Bob. I'm going to get my old redundancy share because it's on my heart. When I hear this Bill story, it reminds me right where I was when I stepped through the doors. And I was resigned to die. That was it, man. I had no hope, none. When I hear these passages that he slipped up, he fought, like we all battled it. We all fell off the horse. We all struggled for so long. And then we got free, and we can get free. So, sorry to take up the time. My point of the whole thing is that by this way of life, I have freedom. I'm not perfect. I still don't, like, I don't want to hear what my wife has to say in other aspects of my life. Yes, it's great. You're not that crazy, but you're still a little meds and meds. So, I got a lot of work to do. But in this passage brings me back to, you know, where would I be? Where would I be if Bill didn't stop fighting? Where would I be? Where would Russell Montalbano be? I'd be dead, and my family would be out of it. Okay, you get what I'm saying. I'm bumbling here, but that's what this has brought me to, is that, you know, we got to be out of options, and I love what this book's about. It saved my life, so God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you, Russ M., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,201. That's 21201. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kathy S., will you please read our book is A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes. Thank you. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.